This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
We're going to take an in-depth look at a really important story that we've been following for, months and months now. A three-judge federal panel unanimously upholds a controversial congressional map backed by Governor Ron DeSantis. Andrew Pantazia is a reporter with The Tributary, a nonprofit, nonpartisan newsroom investigating issues that affect everyone in Jacksonville. Andrew, I know you've been following this court case, and it's one of multiple that have actually been working their ways through the courts. Catch us up on this three-judge federal panel ruling. This was unanimous yesterday.
Yes. So there was a unanimous ruling yesterday on a federal lawsuit. And there's two lawsuits. One is in state court, one is in federal. The federal case was always going to be harder for plaintiffs to prove because they had to prove that the legislature intentionally discriminated on the basis of race against black voters when they passed the governor's map. And what the court found was that they presented a lot of evidence that Governor DeSantis intentionally discriminated, but they weren't able to prove that the legislature also discriminated when it approved the governor's map. And because they couldn't prove that, they said they had no choice but to find against the plaintiffs and to uphold Governor DeSantis's map, keeping the congressional map we currently have in place for more elections.
Let's go back to the beginning of this. Who are the plaintiffs? And this is really all about a seat that was held by a black Democrat in the Northeast Florida, Jacksonville specific area for upwards of 30 years.
Yes, that's right. So the plaintiffs are a group of voters and then some nonprofits, Common Cause Florida, Fair Districts Now, and the Florida State Conference of the NAACP. And this is about a North Florida district that had many different shapes over 30 years, but during those 30 years elected Congresswoman Corinne Brown and then later Congressman Al Lawson. In its final form, it stretched from Jacksonville to Tallahassee. Governor DeSantis targeted that seat. The legislature had preserved it, and the legislature had fought against the governor when he brought in his own experts, brought in his staff, and urged the legislature not to approve that their original map. They went against his will, they approved the map, and then he vetoed. And after he vetoed, the legislature said, okay, we're going to approve the governor's map now and see what the courts decide. And this is the federal court saying that, you know, regardless of what the governor's intent was, because you can't prove that there was an intent by the legislature to discriminate, you have to allow the map to stay in place, at least on federal law.
So is the governor spiking the ball on this, or are they somewhat keeping their powder dry because there might be other legal options?
They're very much spiking the ball. The Secretary of State, Cord Byrd, who's from our region, from Neptune Beach, he tweeted out, boom, another huge win, more to follow. The governor's communications director called it another Florida win and criticized those who had said the congressional redistricting was discriminatory. It should be noted the court decision did not decide whether the governor had been discriminatory himself. There was a concurring opinion that went in depth into that did conclude he was discriminatory, and another one that said he was not, and the third judge did not join either of those opinions. It wasn't really relevant to the case at hand since they had approved the legislature. But they are very much happy that they have this ruling on the intentional racial discrimination question. What remains and what we're all kind of waiting to find out is how the Florida Supreme Court will handle the state case, because there the trial court ruled against the state. The state, that one was using another law that says it's not about intent, it's about effect. We codified parts of the Voting Rights Act into our state constitution by a voter-approved constitutional amendment called the Fair Districts Amendment. And the question is whether the court is going to continue to interpret that the way that the Florida Supreme Court did last decade and the way that federal courts have since. The trial court struck down the map, saying that it clearly violated the provisions, and there's really no concession, no argument about that. The state said, we know we diminished black voting power. The law says you can't diminish black voting power, but we believe that that law should not protect specifically North Florida black residents for a number of reasons, and we believe that the federal courts and the state courts have gotten that wrong. And so it remains to be seen whether the Florida Supreme Court is going to agree with them or not. And oral argument for that still has not occurred. So nobody expects that to happen in time for it to affect 2024. At the earliest, even if the court agreed with the plaintiffs, that's not going to go into effect until 2026 at the earliest.
So Aaron Bean, who is now in the congressional seat, essentially, if you will, would be safe for the 2024 election cycle. But obviously, this would have implications for congressional seats all across the state, would it not?
It's really just North Florida. So the state case dropped all claims elsewhere in the state. And so they would have to redraw the North Florida districts. And if they won, it would change by adding one Democratic seat and removing one Republican seat. But it's mostly not going to affect other districts too much.
Okay. And on that federal case, because it was a three-judge panel, is there any sort of appeal if the plaintiffs here, like the NAACP and others, want to continue to appeal? Have you heard from them on whether they might ultimately do so, or does this kind of end that federal case, you think?
They said that they are reviewing the decision and deciding. Because it's a three-judge panel, if they appealed, it would go straight to the U.S. Supreme Court. It would be more fast-tracked in that way. Most people watching the case have a hard time believing the plaintiffs would appeal because the U.S. Supreme Court is so conservative right now that these are more liberal nonprofit groups that might be worried about setting a bad precedent by bringing a case that is already pretty shaky. Many people who were rooting for the plaintiffs even didn't think they had a super great shot because this is such a high bar. Proving what's in someone's heart, proving their intent, requires a lot of evidence. And they needed to not just prove the governor, they needed to prove the legislature, which is 160 people. How do you prove that, like, the majority of the legislature, what their intent was when they approved the law? And that's a really high burden of proof. And so while the plaintiffs were very hopeful, and I think they thought they might have had a win, many people I talked to who were watching the case were not super surprised.
And even if they happen to appeal, the Supreme Court would have to decide that it would have an appetite to take it up. And I don't know that we have much evidence that they would be willing to take that up.
Yeah. And I mean, there's not much to appeal either because it's really a fact-based decision. It's, did you prove this evidence? And usually what you're appealing is when you think that the court misapplied the law, that they misunderstood what the law requires. And it's hard to imagine them disagreeing with how the law should be applied. And really, they probably, if they disagree, they disagree with the court's fact finding, whether they had enough facts to prove the legislature discriminated or not. And that's not something the U.S. Supreme Court usually reviews, whether the facts were inaccurate by the trial court.
Appreciate the insight. Andrew Pantazzi is editor at The Tributary. That's a nonprofit, nonpartisan newsroom here in Jacksonville investigating issues that affect everyone in Northeast Florida. You can read more on that story and some other recent headlines, including former Jacksonville public defender Matt Shirk being disbarred at jackstrib.org.